I want to welcome us to the presence of the Lord Almighty tonight. Let me begin from the issue of testimonies. Whenever we come together for the purpose of worship and we have opportunity to testify, it gladdens the heart of God. I do not see the moment of testifying as a moment of show up. No. I see it as an opportunity to appreciate this God who is so faithful to us, who desires that when he has done something for us, we should acknowledge it. No matter how minute it may seem or sound in our eyes, it gives God joy to see that this my daughter, this my son acknowledges what I have done for him or her. So please, let us continue with that habit. God is glorified through it. And each time we pray at the end of the testimonies, it's an opportunity to place a seal of heaven upon those testimonies, such that the devil has no authority to manipulate it and turn it around against us. So I celebrate you, and I trust God that we'll have many more reasons to share godly and good testimonies to his glory in the name of Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to say tonight before I teach has to do with giving. I happen to be among those guys who do not believe in putting every of our sermon on the subject of giving. But tonight we are going to be talking about money. But before I go into that, let me emphasize, like my music director observed, our sister shared testimony about how she struggled with her tithe and eventually decided to do it, and God opened up for her. Let me tell us that one way the devil wants to shortchange us of our blessing is through our giving. Because when we refuse to give what belongs to God to him, the devil has a way of collecting it from us, whether we like it or not. And in that time when the devil collects it, it doesn't carry blessing anymore. In Malachi, the word of God says, "And prove me to test. Try me. Test me." I don't think God is a man that he will lie. In Isaiah 55 verse 11, he said, "My word that has come out of my mouth will not return to me void. It must accomplish the purpose." So many in church are not faithful in their giving. They are not faithful in their tithes. And they think they are doing someone. You are doing yourself. If I refuse to be faithful in my tithe, I am doing myself. Because I will be closing door of God's blessing against myself. So I want to thank you, my dear sister. I remember I did a teaching, made an invitation on this subject of tithing, and you put up your hand and I prayed with you. You will see many more of God's favor. You will see many more of his miracle and blessing. And I challenge every one of us in church this evening. Cultivate that habit of being faithful. You may not know what the Lord is doing through that tithe that you are giving. Tithe is not your own. It's not your money. I don't call it your tithe. It is God's tithe. My tithe is not my tithe. It is God's tithe. Because God gave the instruction that we must pay it. And I took a decision. If I know how much I'm receiving, I will not calculate it and ensure that what I receive becomes the basis of my tithe. No, I won't do that. I would love to pay beyond what should have ordinarily been my tithe so that I can challenge God. There are days I don't have any money in my hand, but you won't know. And I will tell God, "Baba, I need money." And before evening comes, the money must come. How he does it, I don't know. That's me, because he told me I should prove him to test after I have done my bit. If you are faithful in your tithe, you can never lie. And one of our musicians say, if you pay your tithe, life will not be tight for you. So I implore us to continue to be faithful in our giving to God. And we'll see the miracle of what the Lord will do in our lives. Now to the teaching of tonight. Turn your Bible with me to the book of James chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. James chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Come now, you rich. Weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you. You will eat your flesh like fire, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your field, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your heart as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. It does not resist you. Warning to the selfishly rich. Someone has said somewhere that I hate to be rich because the Bible is against riches. In fact, someone has quoted for me that Jesus said, it will be easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, which presupposes that God hates riches and that he condemned those who are rich, and that Jesus now stamped it by saying it will be easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm not an English student, I wouldn't know. But if that is called metaphor, whatever it's called, it is just not possible for camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Which means Jesus was invariably saying that no rich man will be in heaven. Are we still together? But is that what the Bible says? Somebody give me Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Ecclesiastes 10, 19. Media, if you can, I will appreciate. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry. The last part of it, can we read it together? I want to go. I didn't hear you. Say it again. But money answers everything. King James Version will say, but money answered all things. The teaching on the subject of money does not in any way condemn riches, especially when that rich man or woman got rich legitimately. If money answered all things, it means money is the wheel that make things happen. In fact, in mission studies, we were taught that money is the vehicle for mission. Without money, we wouldn't have all these gadgets we are using here tonight. We wouldn't have gotten light since NEPA had gone. God is never against rich people. In fact, when Jesus selected 12 disciples, he had one who was a treasurer. What was he keeping? His money. But the unfortunate thing about this subject of money is that we have abused money. And that is where the problem lies, the abuse. Even in the church, a lot of things are happening today. I gave a story yesterday during our men's fellowship. I was in a church, and somebody, the preacher, the supposed preacher, supposed man of God, stood on the pulpit and announced 08075466828. Who is the owner of that phone? And somebody put up his hand there. And he said, check your phone. A lot of 1 million naira has just hit your phone now. And the person truly checked the phone and he saw the alert of 1 million naira. Is that not powerful? Eh? Uh-huh. And the guy jumped up and said, oh God, I got it. And the man of God said, at the end of the service, see me. At the end of the service, he went to see him and he told him, the 10% is for the man of God. Somebody say money. I didn't hear you say it again. And that is what is raining now. A lot of things are happening, even in the church, because of money. And I'm convinced in my spirit that more than 80% of those who will go to hell because of the subject of money. Because right there in the church, we falsify receipts to get money. We manipulate people to get money. One pastor from Delta traveled to Lagos to see one man of God because he had the inspiration that he need to see the man of God to pray for him so that God will open doors of ministry for him. He traveled to Lagos, got to Lagos, met the man of God. When he got to the church, there were protocols to follow in seeing the man of God. He gave him a form to fill and he was told, all right, the time you are coming now is too late. You can't see the man of God today. You have to go and lodge till tomorrow, 4 p.m. That's the time you will be able to see the man of God. And the guy had planned to return back to Delta the following day. He said, no, it's not possible. I just need to see him, please. He said, no, it's not possible. You can't see him today. We have to book people who will have access to the man of God. And so that man, the pastor who traveled from Delta to Lagos, went back and said, okay, this is what I will do. He went outside, go and buy one ram, big ram, and came back. When he got there, he met those who booked people and said, the Lord told me I should deliver this ram by hand to the man of God. And when they saw him and saw the ram, said, okay, you can see him now. Was given access to see the man of God because he brought ram. Money. In our offices, in places where we work, the best and the easiest way to make it now is to falsify, is to cajole, is to manipulate. 2005, I was here in Delsu to do my postgraduate diploma in education. I don't want to mention their name. A good number of lecturers, some of them have retired now, some are dead now, who taught us. When they come to class, they will tell us, this textbook is 4,000 naira. You have to buy it. to pass the course. And the textbook is called Continuous Assessment. If you pay your 4,000 naira, you have gotten 20 mark already. Money. Ego vera, horribly. That's what they say in my language. And I can tell you, like I said earlier, that 80% of those who will go to hell because of the subject of money. My boss was preaching in government house. He took the microphone and he told governor, not Okowa, the one-time governor of this state, he told it to his face, Oga, you are saying they are not doing the road well. And you and your commissioners are responsible for it. And how do I mean? You will award a contract of 10 million naira for the construction of Campus 2 access road. 10 million naira. And then automatically by virtue of the signature you append to the contract, you collect 10%. The commissioner who will facilitate it will collect his own. The site engineer will collect his own. Everybody will collect their own from the 10 million. By the time the money will get to the contractors and it has become 2 million naira. So what do you expect the commissioner, the contractor, he will do 2 million naira job for you in place of 10 million naira. And you will blame him. The man was looking at Reverend Oyibo. But that's the truth. Those of us, teachers, lecturers, you are in church as a child of God. From Mondays to Fridays, in your office, what do you do? With your students, you give them a mind. You must buy this book. If you don't buy it, you will fail. Is that the mandate you were given in your teaching assignment? Because you want to make money. They forced me, some of the textbooks, I never opened them until I finished my postgraduate diploma. 4,000, 3,000, 4,000. That's 2005. Oh. By now, I know say you don't reach 10,000. Say it's continuous assessment. If you don't buy it, you don't have that 20%. Money. Even those who are in church are also involved. In government offices, if you want your fast, I mean your files to move, you have to press button. If you don't press button, the files won't move. They will remain there. Money. Brothers and sisters, what is your attitude to money? The passage we read, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19 says, money answereth all things. And that's true. But are we supposed to be slaves to money? There are some now who collect money to facilitate admission for students. Lecturers, they still go to church. Because you want to buy a car, you want to build a house. Money. While I was reflecting on this passage, a lot of things were, running in my heart. A lot of things were running in my heart. One author said, if all Christians are truly Christians, no pagan will like to be a pagan. But because all Christians are not Christians, that's why pagans are comfortable being pagan. Money. What's your attitude towards it? I will rush through what I want to present and I'll be done. A lot of all I had in mind to share with us are some of the things I've said. But the picture that was painted in the passage we read, James chapter 5, verse 1 to 6, is a continuation of our series on the book of James. Now, the issue James was addressing in that passage has to do with people who made money
at the expense of people. An example was Zacchaeus, whom we read about in the book of Luke. In those days, what do tax collectors do? They will enumerate, take a census of all the persons staying in Abraka P.O. They say the total persons that are living in Abraka P.O., they are 200. They will go to the government and say, okay, we have 100 persons in Abraka. They will pay the money M block to government for 100 persons for that year. They will now assign tax collectors to go through the cities to collect the tax for them. And now when the tax collector will be going to collect, they will tell them, each person, the contract they had with government is to collect 1 naira per person for the 200 persons in Abraka PO. Now they have told government that the number of persons in Abraka PO are 100. So now they've paid for 100. They will come now, instead of collecting 1 naira in order to get 100% of gain, they will come and say each person should pay 4 naira. Now you can multiply the gain the chief tax collector will make within a year from each person that he was supposed to collect 100 naira from. Plus the fact that he has falsified the figure to reduce it in order to amass wealth. And James was saying that all of those wealth will rot and waste away. Come to think of it, how many persons who were stinkingly rich that you can remember in this country who, after their demise, the wealth just filtered away like that. I have a lot of them in my place. You ask yourself, where is the money? Stinkingly rich. Particularly one, he was staying in Jos. Each day he was to come to Kokori, there is a siren that is fixed in his vehicle. As he's coming, the siren will be blowing. Everybody will run from the street to wait along the road. He will be throwing money. I will be picking money along the street. Then there was no Yahoo Plus. So this one is not Yahoo Plus. To demonstrate or to show that indeed he has money. So once we hear the siren, all of us will run to the road. Say money is coming today. We're going to begin to pick. He's dead today. His children are wasting away. All his properties, they've sold them. An example, a practical example of what James was talking about in this passage was what happened in Safle not quite long. There was this big man, I won't call his name, a army general. Very big man from Delta State here. I once attended a party where he was given microphone to talk. And he was quoted as saying, it's not quoted, and I saw him, I heard him. He said, each time I go to places and I'm spending money, they will say, I'm spending money. He said, now the kanda of the money I spend. They say, I'm spending. What if I enter inside? Say, I'm spending money. What if I enter inside? Now, this man died not quite long. And after a while, the children came and said they want to dispose a lot of caravan that were inside his compound to clear them away in Sapele. So in the process of bringing people to buy the caravan, they said, okay, let's open the caravan and even see what is inside. Ladies and gentlemen, when they open one of the caravan, I don't know how many of us have been to CBN. There is a kind of briefcase they use for loading raw cash in CBN.
I don't know how many of us have seen it. It's like aluminium, solid. This aluminium were loaded inside the caravan from bottom to top, from ending to ending. So when they forced the door of the caravan open, they saw the heap of these boxes. The children know, say, something don't happen here. And so they opened it and they started bringing those boxes out. Brothers and sisters, when they opened the boxes, what was inside was not Nigerian naira. It was dollars. Dollars loaded in hundreds of those boxes I'm talking about. That we fill a caravan. You know what that means. So they opened one of them, brought the dollars out. And when you pick the dollar like this, the thing was melting. They will pick one bundle, everything has already melted. The thing will just dust down. And that was how millions of dollars, not naira, was wasted away. That money will have transformed a country into something else. One man, where is he today? Dust to dust. And that's precisely what James was saying. And all of these things will rust away. They will waste away. You will have no gain for it. I pray that the Lord will teach us a lesson today that we'll be conscious of what we do with money. That we will not, because of money, position ourselves on the way to hell. I pray the Lord will help us. Scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Someone has said somewhere that it's only in Nigeria that we have people who are so stingy. They have a stick in their hand. Even when money touches the hand, the money will gum the hand. To release it becomes a problem. Have you wondered, in some family, we have people who are multi-billionaire. In my former church in Warri, there's one man. If you enter the compound, you will see the line of cars round the compound. Over 50. He used tarpaulin to cover some. The tires are leaked down. Brand new. The seat cover are still there. Brand new. The tires are just down there. But you know what? This man's wife entered Okada to go and teach in the school where she teaches. One day I called him and I told him, I said, Chief, don't you think something is wrong somewhere? He was looking at me. How can your wife be entering Okada to school and you have this fleet of cars? I said, it's not meant for wife. That was what he told me. Wealth, riches. When God blesses us with one, we must know that it is meant for us to touch lives. It is meant for us to be generous. There are some whose parents are languishing in penury, suffering in the village, and they have more than enough to throw away. Enter some people's compound, you will wonder, what are you going to do with this car? Are you going to enter two at the same time? They line them up. Some company, there's no even space to park them anymore. Madness. I pray that the Lord will deliver us in the name of Jesus. Feel like talking and talking and talking on this subject matter when I remember that riches is going to drive many to hell. Let me rush through. We have come to another section of James' admonition that demands careful attention. And this is warning to selfish rich people. Selfish rich people. There's no doubt in my mind that the rich addressed here are both within the church and all over, as well as those who may be connected to fellowship of believers. I've emphasized this before. In James chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, he addressed the church concerning favoring the rich men of the church over the poor. We have talked about that before. I'm not going back there again. He stressed that both should be treated equally. James, now, in this chapter, we are looking at chapter 5, comes directly to those who are rich but who misuse the grace of God that God has given to them. He does not blame them for being rich. I've emphasized that. Because there is nothing wrong with riches or wealth. Rather, the focus is on being very selfish and even acting like those who do not know God, or in the matter of how we treat people. First of all, James used a strong word to warn those who are selfishly rich. He said they should wail and howl for what will befall them and their riches if the wealth is not put to good use, such as catering for the welfare of those who are less fortunate. He used three things that people of old considered part of their wealth. We look at them. Number one, selfishly rich people are guilty of hoarding money. One of the problems I've discovered in our nation is that those who are rich want to be rich and richer and richer and richer. A professor in a renowned university was appointed into government. I was in that meeting, and he said, I'm quoting him now. He said, until I enter into government, I never know what money is all about. He said, in government, if you see money, Pastor, I go turn you. He said, if you see money, a professor was saying it. He said, so I don't blame those who go to negotiate on our behalf when there are issues because they don't see money. Someone in this our state here, he has a house somewhere. There were problems in the house and they asked an electrician. That electrician is our brother. He's a member of our church. They asked him to come and work in the house. So he got there, they told him, is this a flat that they say you should go and walk in? He walked into the flat, they opened the door, and the moment they opened the door, ladies and gentlemen, this will not be cut or no. Prof, money was arranged on top of each other in heaps inside the house, raw cash. The man said when he saw the money, he said he was almost fainting. Because the scent of the money was driving him crazy back. And so when he ran back, the man who came to open the door now say, Oga, money did that room. Say, who told you to open that door? That same day, he brought in-laws and evacuated the money from that place. He's a politician. As we speak, someone was quoted as saying, until the wahala of COVID-19 that has made all of us to become equal now. Do you know somebody in National Assembly will take a flight, afternoon flight to South Africa to drink tea and return? Money. Go to South Africa to drink tea. And when they come back, when they are in plenary, see all of them, some of them sleeping. Some have not even made one statement one day since they entered that place. And they are collecting 29 million naira monthly. House of Red. Sine, 35 million naira monthly. One, in Sapele, where I was before, for constituency project, they say they collect 500 million every year. 500 million every year for constituency project. They brought sewing machine, grinder, all this kind of, there's a big hall inside his compound there in Sapele where they loaded all of these things. He's dead now. He has since been buried. Those machines are still there. His immediate junior brother is an electrician. He's still working with leg in Sapele. His immediate junior brother. I pray that the Lord will deliver us in the name of Jesus Christ. But I pray for you. God will bless you. You will be rich. Oh, you will have money. Not illegal money, but genuine money. And when that genuine money comes, use it to serve God and humanity. That's the essence of this teaching. Let the blessings of God through you affect lives. Everything will end in 6 feet one day. As Mommy Erusia Fereno, she first us Okotiebo Mimi Ejo. It's from my lineage. When she first us Okotiebo is walking along the street, the cloth he ties will be at the gate yonder. And he's here going. Where is the wealth today? Minister of Finance. Where is the wealth today? His house in Sapele is in shambles. Nobody stays there. It's cockroach and reptiles that are staying in the house today. In Sapele there. Where is the wealth? We are shortchanging people, oppressing innocent and poor students. Force them to pay money. That we need it by all means. What will it end up with? Is buy either you buy car or you build house. It passed like that. It is either you buy car or you build house. Nothing more. The Prime Minister of UK has only one house. David Cameron. I went there. I saw it. I'm not telling you story. One house. When he finished as Prime Minister, he returned back to that same house. David Cameron drives himself. If governor is going to visit Delsu today, at least 25 or 50 vehicles will be in the convoy. And they will fuel all of those cars. And it might interest you to know all those commissioners that will come with him that day, they have allowance they will collect from government that day. I was a woman who was a member of my church in Warri, Honorable Philomena Oyaron. I will call it her name so you know. She was a one-time commissioner in Oduana's cabinet. She told me this story. It's not Dense. Governor was to go for a program and he couldn't go. So he asked the commissioner for culture and tourism to go and represent him. She went to represent the governor. 2 weeks later, Accountant General of Delta State called her on phone and said, "Madam, you have a check to pick up." Say, "Which check is that?" Say, "Come to the office. There's a check for you." And so she went to the office of the Accountant General. And when she got there, said, "Please sign." Say, "Check of 3 million. Say, "For what purpose?" Say, "You went to represent governor in a function for 30 minutes. You have a check of how much?" And yet, such person will still want to siphon and steal and rob and dupe and oppress people. Six feet. The point here is the money is kept at the expense. My time is up. At the expense of the poor workers who are not being paid their wages. And that's one aspect that gives me pain. I know without any iota of doubt that the oppression in our country is terrible, especially from those in government. But that's not enough justification for you as a lecturer to continue to oppress. No. While I was studying in the UK, my professor, who is my supervisor, told me that as a professor, UK government still pay for the upkeep of his children. He has four children, 2 boys and 2 girls. The government still pay to take care of those children until they are over 18 years. Even though he's receiving his salary legitimately as a professor, yet government still cater. They take care of them. I know back here, the politicians are busy oppressing, but that's not enough reason
for you now to on your own begin to oppress others. It's no good. Poor innocent students, oppress them and collect money from them. It will not take you anywhere. Falsify figures. I will buy fuel, 3,000 naira. Say, attendant, write 4,000 naira. Where will it take me to? Hell. I'm closing. I'll give you time to ask questions. But the bottom line of all James was saying is, if you are privileged to have money, let that money be used to affect the life of others. Let it be used to affect the work of God. That's the essence of it all. There's nothing more. Because we came to meet them here and we will surely leave them here. Empty-handed we came and empty-handed we will go. None of those words will follow us. COVID-19 has come to teach us lesson that this world is empty, nothing. Our king was appointed or coronated barely 5 years. He was doing 2 weeks after his 5th anniversary, the king died. If it were the issue of money, say, let's look for money to take care of him, the money will have been there. But money couldn't save him. We're looking for a new king now. It's enough lesson we have learned from COVID-19 that this world is empty, it's nothing. So what are we striving for? What are we manipulating people for? What are we cajoling people for? What are we oppressing people for? The money we are going to leave here. Those who even have the trillions, COVID-19 still silent them. Many of them are in the grave. When you have wealth, let that wealth be used to touch lives. And let us be conscious that our wealth must be legitimate one, not the one we manipulate people to collect. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I'll stop. You can read the other materials in the one the secretary will give to us. If you have questions, ask me before I jump out. Any question on this subject of money matter? Any question? Yes, Mommy Yerusafe. I think she's the only one. Hallelujah.
Yeah, one of the last statements you made. In Ecclesiastes 10:19, the last part of it says, but money answereth all things.
Yes.
I want to say no. Like one of the statements, the man that died, there was money. He was sick. But was the money able to?
No.
Did money answer it?
All right. Thank you, Mommy. I appreciate that. You see, that's theology. When the Bible says money answereth all things, you see, we talk about contextualization of text in hermeneutics. We don't just pick a phrase and make up an opinion on it. We look at where the writer is coming from and where the writer is going. The emphasis of what Solomon was saying in that text. You don't forget that Solomon was about the richest king the world has ever produced. He had the highest number of wives and concubines that any king ever had in Israel. Solomon was stinkingly rich. He is the man who has the highest level of wisdom in kingship that has ever been produced in the world. If you read his work in that same Ecclesiastes to the very end, he said, all these things In all these things, I have come to discover that vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. What Solomon was saying in that passage is, we need money to fulfill the expectation of humanity. Chairman of Council says in Obiaroko, Baba, assuming you were trekking from Obiaroko to come and join us in this midweek service, maybe you will never reach, what do they call that village? Uroka. That's what Solomon is saying. Money helps to fulfill the expectations we have in life. That's what he's saying. He's not saying once you have money, oh, everything is okay for you. Because everything was not okay for even Solomon, who had the millions, the richest king in his time. He had more than enough wealth. No king is as rich as Solomon, or was as rich as Solomon. Even till today, we have never seen anyone. So he wasn't saying, once you have money, everything will be okay for you. No, he was saying money is a requirement. It's a necessity. And I painted that picture at the beginning of my teaching. That if there were no money, this microphone wouldn't be here. If there were no money, the generator wouldn't be working now. If we had no money, there would be no television for us to display what we are displaying. I told us that in mission we are taught that the wheel that is used to propel mission is what? It's money. But that does not mean that once you have money, because that is the mentality of these our people here. They believe once you've gotten money, you have arrived. Money will do everything for you. It's not possible. So that's my response to that. Money is good. Money is required. But money is not ultimate. Money is meant to help us be what God wants us to be. But money will not take us there. We need God to guide our thoughts on the subject of money. If you are rich, be rich unto God. Don't use your wealth to oppress others. If you are even blessed in any level apart from the issue of money, any area of life where God has blessed you, don't use it to oppress others. God hates oppression. Don't use it to undo others. God will not be happy with you. I pray that the Lord will help us and grant us grace to be faithful to Him with what He has bestowed on us. I trust Him. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have what we need to take care of our lives and take care of our families. And He will surely provide for us in the name of Jesus. And when He has eventually provided, ensure that we use that wealth to glorify God. Yes, sir. I said only one question. My time is up. All right, let's rush it.
Okay, my question is, now, when you're making examples, you made examples with these politicians. Now, the church is supposed to be an example. But my own question is it wrong for a church or a church that has wealth? Because we see some churches, they have wealth, and you see the pastors buying jet upon jet. Will it be wrong for the church to even have something like a factory or something where they can be employers of labor, where they can also help humanity? Because you have a lot, I've seen a lot of graduates don't have job and politicians are wasting the money. We have some churches that have money, but they are still wasting the money. So will it be wrong?
Thank you. I wasn't talking about politicians alone. I made instances with our church even here. Yeah, we have some very good committed lecturers who are here now. Some of them are listening to me. But there are some who still sell handout, a bit textbook, and say you will get 20%. And I'm saying it is wrong. Say your pastor said so. I did my master's. I did my doctoral studies in UK. No lecturer forced me to buy one textbook one day. In fact, you don't even need it. The library is looking for people to dash book to because there is so much book they want to do away with. But the ones I was forced to buy in 2005, I told you a while ago, they are still there. Some of them have not even opened them. They say if you don't buy it, you don't get 20% continuous assessment because we want to make wealth. To come back to your question, my dear sister, Yes, I say, Archbishop Awomakpa, God do Awomakpa say, heaven will, he say, hell will not be complete until some people will pass through the church and go to hell. He was also quoted as saying that if being in church will take somebody to heaven, the pews will be the first to get to heaven because they have always been in the church. They never leave the church one day, so they will be the first to get to heaven. But being in church is not a yardstick. Being a pastor is not a... In fact, we pastors are going to be most judged. That's what the Bible says. One is trending now. Someone was bragging. I bought my first jet, my second jet, my third jet in COVID-19. So I don't want COVID-19 to go again. Do you know, my sister, in South Korea, David Yogi Cho's church determines the economy of South Korea. If Yogi Cho says nobody should go to work in this country next week, the economy of South Korea will be down. Because all those who make the government of South Korea are members of David Yogi Cho's church. It determines what happened in the economy of South Korea. David Yogi Cho's church has enough company that has more than enough money that the government has. So what did he do? If government want to take any major decision, they go to consult him. Okay, this is what we have in mind. Can we go ahead? But yeah, now jet. I will soon buy my own. If you have not bought your jet, you have not arrived. If you have not gotten a fleet of cars that will line up and siren in front. I know of a pastor in Nigeria. If he's going to wear red suit, then the vehicle that will be in his convoy that day will all be red. If he's going to wear white suit, all the vehicle in the convoy will be white. And when he arrives, is it orderly Abi aides who will be clearing the road for him? If we are blessed, the church should be an employer of labor. If we have money and there are opportunities for us to get people gainfully, why not? And that's why I celebrate person like David Oyedepo. By the grace of God, his church has empowered several. Our Savior's Chapel, if not for COVID-19, were doing wonderfully well in empowerment, and I must clap for this church. And that's what it should be. When the money is there, it should be used to assist and help those who need it. That's what the church stands for. But not just the church. Even those of us who are here now. Dr. Israel Okoro, you hear that there is somebody to be employed in your department and you have the opportunity. It behoves you to bring the information to Uncle Chaplin and say, Uncle Chaplin, announce it. They want to employ somebody in my office, so let's look for somebody from our church. That's what the Muslims do. That's what they do. But deep down on our side here, what do we see? Those who use the ladder to climb, when they get up, they remove the ladder so that nobody can climb to meet them. Say, no, I don't want him to come close to me so that he will not know what I'm receiving. We have boys in church who have no job. Have you been able to use your privileged position to empower them and make them have something to do? That's what we ought to be pursuing. That's the world we are talking about. Whose life have you touched? You are not rich until you have been able to touch life. I feel like preaching. Let me stop. All right. Yes. Yes, my mommy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I bless God for the contribution that Mrs. Harris have made, which made the chaplain to expand on that. I'm also particularly happy about what Mamuzo has raised. The bit I want to add has to do with our individual contribution when we are rich. When we are rich, don't forget that wealth is not just money. There are many other ways of being rich. Some of us are rich in time and easy to help people. That time in which you are rich. But when it comes to physical cash, having enough, some of us people don't really have enough to help. It's only those who are already millions that can help. That's not true. I give you the example of the kind of things that used to happen in a community, a university community like University of Ibadan. I know this professor that was chairman of our wedding when he came here. The plumbers that used to come to their house to fix things like that. But there was a very dutiful one and he took note of him. And this particular day he was fixing things that went wrong. And he noticed that his son came back from school. Why are you here? I'm here because I've been driven away for school fees. The man said he had to come. Look at the man's bicycle, extremely old. He could hardly have a brake to paddle it. And this professor, wasn't even a professor then, he paid the fees. And that's how they started engaging and participating in paying the fees for this man's children. Very intelligent. Within a short time, a number of this man's children had gone abroad. They study, they are much better than the children of many professors on that campus. That is how to use your money. Some of us just sit back and we feel that. It's not true. Your neighbor is in trouble, he's in tears. And you can help. Let us use our money selflessly.
Thank you, mommy. I appreciate that. One dimension she just added, which I think I should emphasize before we close, is the issue of not being a millionaire before you begin to help. The truth is, if you don't know how to help with little, you will not know how to help when you have much. The process of giving a helping hand begins with what you have today. Start from where you are today. Just like the issue of tithe. If you are receiving small money, you don't know how to give the tithe of that small. By the time you have big one, you won't be able to give. So the process or the best time to start is now. We want to take our offering. Lead us in singing, please. Music director, yeah.
You are not just big, you are not just large. You are a great God. You are God. You are.